Thanks for spending time with us on The Green this week. I'm Tom Byrne. In this edition of Enlighten Me, we head to the University of Delaware to highlight work from student journalists, pieces produced by UD Communication students for a class taught by Nancy Karabjanian, longtime First Aid journalist, director of UD's journalism program, and one of the founders of Delaware Public Media. We start with recent graduate Joe Cosmetti. The media communications major says many visitors to Delaware State Parks may be unaware of what those baskets with chains all around are used for. The answer is disc golf, and Cosmetti has more on this surprisingly popular game in Delaware.
For some, that's the sure sound of warmer weather, sports, and time with friends. It's the sound of sinking a putt in disc golf. And when summer hits, people turn to the game as one of America's lesser-known pastimes. For UD student Aiden Symington, it's about community.
There was a store on Main Street that like sold discs, and then like the more I played and I like introduced it to some of my friends here, like I realized there was a lot more people that played here and a lot bigger community.
For Aiden, that community is so notable because of how popular the game is in Delaware. The state of Delaware alone has 16 courses, 7 of them being in Delaware State Parks. So where did they all come from?
Well, I could give you the reason why it was originally started, and it sounds kind of terrible, but the superintendent up at Brandywine Creek told me that there were hippies in his parking lot throwing frisbees, and he wanted to give him a place to play.
That's the voice of Sean Heacock, chief of construction at Delaware State Parks, as he details how the game found a home in the first state.
The ones that are important are Cape and Lopen was the first in Delaware, around about 1978, and it was in part designed by Ed Hedrick, who invented disc golf. So kind of a notable note there. And then Brandywine Creek was the second one that was installed sometime between 78 and 80. And then I know Brandywine Creek was the first tournament in Delaware in 1980.
And for Sean and the Parks Department, the installation of disc golf courses in state parks is a no-brainer.
I mean, really, it's just they're inexpensive and easy to put in and easy to maintain. But the cost to put a course in is you can put it in for less than $20,000 in the last 20 years. The bang for the buck is really, really valuable.
The pandemic brought another boom to the sport, leading to the first televised disc golf tournament. And the game has continued to grow in popularity since. Sean and the Parks Department report that Bellevue, the most popular course in Delaware, averages 1,500 rounds played a month. And that popularity for Aiden is all about the experience.
I love playing disc golf. I think it's a great way to get outside and hang out with your friends. And a lot of people don't realize it's a great form of exercise. You're walking for a while, but you don't even realize it because you're having fun.
And the game is a priority for the parks to upkeep. Within the past 5 years, all courses have undergone a major rehab, changing course layouts and upgrading equipment. So as long as people like Sean have a say, the game will continue to be a staple of the state parks of Delaware.
It takes somebody with the passion and effort to go through and do it. And then in 10 or 15, 20 years, whatever it may be, we'll go out and we'll shift things around again and make them fresh again.
For UD News, Joe Cosmetti reporting.
Thanks to recent UD grad Joe Cosmetti for his reporting. Next, we hear from senior Madison Gelman, who takes a look at the comeback of the app Yik Yak. The completely anonymous app was previously banned over cyberbullying, but Gelman reports it's now back and on the rise, including at UD.
That's the sound of chatter you'll find on any college campus. But lately, some of that talk is happening somewhere a bit more anonymous. Yik Yak, the once banned app, is back, and students at UD are using it more than ever.
It's sort of like a anonymous site where you can express your opinions and, you know, just say whatever you want. People can upvote it or downvote it and comment on it within a 5-mile radius. And it's like really popular among college campuses.
That was Kaylee Uzbe, a senior at UD who describes Yik Yak as a place where students share daily thoughts. But sometimes those posts can get controversial.
Most of the stuff is like trying to be relatable. Like, I just broke up with my girlfriend, I'm sad. Or they'll say, oh, is it hot outside? Do I need to wear a tank top or a sweatshirt? But then it gets a little bit like controversial sometimes. Sometimes they name drop people and just like express negative opinions about certain people or certain groups on campus, and that's when it can get kind of messy.
From my perspective, I have seen the damage this stuff does to students.
UD human behavior professor John Groth says the privacy is the attraction, but warns there is a dark side.
You could put something that was really mean, and because it's anonymous and nobody knows who wrote it, there's like 20, 50 students who could go, "That's directed at me." And you've actually done so much damage.
Groth says that without names or faces, comments can hit harder, something Kaylee knows about firsthand.
I've been targeted a few times on Yik Yak just because I run Airband for my sorority. So a lot of people can get very judgmental and very rude, just outright rude.
For Kaylee, the rudeness expanded to personal attacks.
I kind of wore like a bodysuit on stage at Airband, and they were all talking about my body, which was interesting. They weren't saying bad things, but like, that's definitely something that stuck in my mind, you know?
Yik Yak came back with new rules, but some old habits are still showing up.
I asked students, and one student said, honestly, it was kind of cool to a little bully people. So I could see where you could get a group of people who maybe get a little alcohol involved and you get your phones out.
Despite the new rules, the app still lets people avoid accountability for the harm they cause.
Student expression is not more important if it's anonymous. I get the First Amendment rights and everything of freedom of speech, but identify who you are.
Yik Yak's return brings back an old question. Can anonymous apps connect us or just divide us? The new rebranded Yik Yak may help connect the campus, but for many at UD, the app doesn't feel all that different from before. For the University of Delaware News, I'm Madison Gelman.
Thanks to UD senior Madison Gelman for her piece. And we close with rising senior Chris Granada, who notes that graduation last month was full of additional stress and uncertainty for international students at UD. As visa rules tighten and immigration policies shift, Granada reports the path from diploma to career has never felt more unclear for these students.
Scared, because I feel like we don't have the correct pathway to like be able to stay here if we want to.
Petros Focas is one of many international students at the University of Delaware. For Focas and others, graduation is supposed to be a celebration, the reward for years of hard work and sacrifice. But for many, it marks the beginning of a new set of worries. As the caps and gowns are ordered, an uneasy reality sets in and puts the thought that what happens next is far from certain. In the U.S., international students are most often on F1 visas. The status allows a period of post-graduation work through a program called Optional Practical Training, or what's commonly known as OPT. For some, it's 12 months. For others, particularly in the STEM field, there's a possibility of extension up to 3 years. The extra time can make a difference, offering a chance to build experience, secure a job, and make the American dream a reality. Unfortunately, with the change in administration and recent crackdown by federal immigration authorities and the national tightening visa regulations, that path feels less secure. For now, students like Carlos Fernandez, a biochemistry grad student, feels fortunate to have the extra time to ride out the ever-changing policies.
Yeah, I mean, it makes me feel great, honestly, but honestly, I don't know. I think it's a bit unfair that people who have other majors like don't have the opportunity to get those 2 extra years. But, so yeah, I mean, right now is what it is. I'm happy that I have those extra 2 years.
Even students who've done everything right, maintained their status, aced their classes, and landed job offers can find themselves in a tricky place. Those in non-STEM fields like arts, businesses, or education are particularly unprotected. Without extended OPT or employer sponsorship, many face the real possibility of being sent home just as they're getting started. At UD, students from around the world are feeling the weight of that uncertainty. For some, it's a question of timing. For others, like Petros Focas, it's a question of whether he'll even get to stay long enough to use his degree.
I really enjoying being here. And as we said before, I only still have like 1 year left in my visa. So it's actually a mess, because imagine spending 3 years of your life trying to adjust, learn something new, and then you have to go back from where you came from.
coming from Cyprus, a small island off the coast of Greece, and coming to the U.S. to study was the ultimate dream, the American dream, an opportunity not just to learn, but to build a life. For UD international students, as commencement nears, the mood on campus is complicated. The real question on the minds of many international upcoming grads, it's not just what job will I get, it's also will I even be allowed to try it.
So the visa right now is only for 4 years, and I gave up my whole family, for example. I learned a new culture here, and when I go back home every time, I feel different. The place doesn't feel different, but I feel different because of the new culture and of everything that I've been here, and I just feel like there is not the best.
Reporting from Newark, for UD News, I'm Chris Granata.
Thanks to UD student journalist Chris Granata, Madison Gelman, and Joe Cosmetti for enlightening us this week.